Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome back into the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for Second Helping, the show of choice for fans and followers of the number one league in all of collegiate athletics, the Southeastern Conference. Travis Ryer, as always, joined by my great friend and co-host, Mr. Brent Beard, longtime college football analyst, most recently at First Coast News down in Jacksonville, Duval, Florida. And of course, Brent, also a voter for the Heisman Trophy. And Brent, we've been pondering when this 9-game schedule might go into effect for SEC play. And then we get the news this afternoon on this Thursday that it will happen beginning in one season. 2026, we're going to have 9 SEC games for each and every SEC team starting in a year's time.
You know, what I've noticed so far with this, and I'm glad to see it, because one thing is going to have to lead to another, and we'll get into that in a minute. But, the thing that really sticks out to me like a sore thumb, I haven't seen one coach that's been quoted on this yet, Trav. So I'm getting, and at some point they'll say it, well, we just kind of we went along and we were in unison and all that. But you know, and I know, Trav, that the coaches had some healthy discussion behind the scenes, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they do that each and every year together down in Destin. And they so do. I guess what we're going to have now, though, right, is 3 of the 4 leagues, the Power Fours, that are going to have 9-game conference schedules, with the SEC joining the Big Ten and the Big 12. I guess ACC will be the outlier moving forward.
Correct. Yeah. And they will eventually probably, I would think, come into the fold, and they will join it. And I'm just being level honest here. I mean, if you're in the ACC and you get one more team, the level of competition is not the same as it is in other leagues. So, but particularly at what, Trav, at about the 3/4 of the way through to all the way to the bottom, there are a lot of wins in there somewhere for the ACC.
Yeah, and I think the ACC commissioner today made some comment like, well, you know, we're the highest rated academic league.
I saw that.
So we'll figure it out. Got us there, commish.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
because they absolutely run the GPAs for every school across the scroll like we have here. Reminding you, by the way, to like and subscribe to Ryer on YouTube, because, you know, that's what we all tune in for. Look, it's great if you have a highly performing academic league, but spare us at this point.
Yes, please.
Brent, we're going to talk about, I thought tonight we would get into, you know, how this impacts league teams in terms of what we know is going to be a format with 3 permanent opponents to kind of try to maintain the rivalries that we've grown to know and love in this league for so many years. Still going to have just a top to bottom league, no divisions, not going to have divisional play. But when we run through some of these teams, I'm going to be interested to get your thoughts on who stays and who goes.
From that perspective,
I think we already have a pretty good idea on that. But in the for the sake of you know, a level competitive field for competitiveness, there's some teams, as we know, not all three games, three opponents are going to be the same. I mean, we can start with Alabama right there, and we just go ahead and assume that it's Auburn, Tennessee, what, LSU?
Probably.
As the three constants. So, you know, that's going to be a hill to climb on an annual basis. But, again, I would guess the formulas for the schedules will reflect that outside of who your three annual opponents. I hope what it doesn't mean is that because of the three permanent opponents, we go maybe years without seeing some of these teams play
the
regular season, because we can't just load them up, you know, and then also have the toughness in terms of the difficulty in terms of those annual opponents.
Well, and Trev, don't we see this even now? I think it's with Georgia and A&M. That A&M still is not played. Basically,
Georgia hasn't been to College Station, I think.
I think
A&M's been to Athens. I want to say Kellen Mond, in A&M may have gone to Athens, but I still don't think Georgia's been to College Station,
right? So, and that would certainly make a difference, too. And you know, the thing that we've got to consider here is, not only do we have, we're going to have nine SEC teams, but we're also going to have at least what, Trav, one particularly competitive game, one particularly good team that's coming out of some of the other leagues. I mean, we've got that to a degree now, but I think even that's going to be stepped up a bit.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And so we move through the teams in the league and kind of ponder some scheduling scenarios for them. You talk about the Arkansas Razorbacks. That's almost a team that's rivalry-less in the Southeastern Conference.
Really?
Although with Texas, with Texas in the league now, I got to think Texas is going to be one of those three on an annual basis. You know, Missouri's been presented as a rival, and LSU. So even when you look at Arkansas' schedule this year, final three games of the regular season, LSU on the road, Texas on the road, Missouri in Fayetteville.
Yeah, and I've also seen Ole Miss is a possibility for Arkansas, and that would kind of be interesting too. But yes, I think for those fan bases, obviously that Texas game is a must. But you know, that also that Missouri game, I think, is a natural for the Hogs.
We get into Auburn, Georgia, you got to think. Alabama. So there's two right there where Auburn's getting no favors on an annual basis, you would think. Then, you know, it gets a little trickier, I guess. Is it, let's say, maybe Texas A&M? You know, Auburn doesn't play Mississippi State this season, but you know, maybe it's that type of matchup. Looking at kind of traditional rivalries, Georgia and Alabama certainly strike a chord for Auburn from that perspective, but that third one, I guess, could be a little bit of a wild card.
I'm seeing Vanderbilt for that. As a possibility, because I guess, Trav, if you're thinking about all Alabama and Georgia, well, the third team probably needs to be a team that, and this is not disparaging against Vandy, it's just the way it is. Your third team needs to be a team you can beat.
Yeah, and that's where it gets interesting, though.
It is.
Because you got some teams in this league, when you talk about Alabama, with the three that we're kind of assuming are going to be those traditional trio of opponents between LSU, Tennessee, and Auburn.
Yeah.
Alabama lost to Vandy last year. I know that.
Right.
But boy, year in and year out, that's not an easy road to hoe, as they like to say. What about the Florida Gators from that perspective, Brent? Georgia, obviously.
Yeah.
And where do you kind of go from there? You know, a lot of people, I think, just point at Tennessee and go, well, Florida, Tennessee, you know? But for me, growing up in the state of Florida, it always felt like LSU was over the course of time, in terms of just year in and year out on the schedule, memorable type of games, going back, not just to 92 or, you know, that era when we went to divisions and Spurrier came into the league, Fulmer's at Tennessee, and those memorable matchups, at least on paper, that you had between the Vols and the Gators. So for me, it's LSU and Florida. I mean, excuse me, it's LSU and Georgia.
Yeah.
And then it might even be Kentucky. I want to say Florida and Kentucky have played more
than
Florida and Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, and maybe just because, and I've seen as a possibility as Florida with Georgia, Oklahoma, and South Carolina.
Wow.
Now, South Carolina probably makes a little more sense from the geography point of view. I'm not sure at all about.
I need Florida and LSU to play.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I agree.
Play annually.
Yes.
I mean, you think about this year in week three, that matchup you're going to have, or I guess it's week three. Florida goes to Baton Rouge early in this season. I need that.
Yeah.
You know, as a college football fan, an SEC fan, I'd like to see that.
Yes.
On an annual basis. Let's talk about the Georgia Bulldogs again. We just talked about Florida in relation to Georgia. So that one you would think sticks. The Auburn rivalry, you know, ancient, that rivalry goes back so far. So that would seem to be two. But then with Georgia, the third team gets kind of interesting because you've had Georgia and Kentucky throughout the years, Georgia and Tennessee probably haven't played as much as some people think they have, at least pre-divisions anyway. What do you think there as far as that third SEC annual opponent for the Georgia Bulldogs?
I've seen Kentucky.
Yeah.
And Trav, even as what last year was that 13-12 type thing, right?
Yeah.
So, and a game easily that Kentucky really,
and that was that after South Carolina just smashed Kentucky, I think, in Lexington too, maybe.
Yeah. So that would be interesting, frankly. Now look, Georgia Auburn certainly has not been a rivalry, has it, Travis? I mean, Georgia is on that, is on that rivalry, frankly, which kind of makes me wonder why in the world is Auburn having Cam Newton back and honoring him, when you're playing Georgia and the record you've had against Georgia. I mean, I get the rivalry thing with it, but I'm not sure that's quite the time to have him back.
It's felt like a stretch for Auburn of pulling out all the stops, claiming some more national titles. Look, Cam Newton, you should honor him every year, frankly. But that's an interesting, that's kind of like saying, hey, let's play Georgia for homecoming or something like that. Although, I mean, we see that in some situations at other places too. So, when you get to, speaking of Georgia and Kentucky potentially moving forward on an annual basis, what about the Kentucky Wildcats and this sort of topic that we're considering as far as the three annual opponents? I got to think, well, Tennessee's one. Vanderbilt for Kentucky? I could see that being, that's been a rivalry type situation. Mm-hmm. And then as we talked about, is it Kentucky, Florida? Is it Kentucky, Georgia? I would think that's where you would probably choose from. Although you've got South Carolina that's been in that mix, obviously. And even Ole Miss, I want to say Ole Miss. Prior to the most recent expansion, it seemed like Kentucky and even Mississippi State played on a pretty annual basis.
And which leads to the point for this would be Georgia, Mississippi State, in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. But you know, again, I get the Georgia, I get the Mississippi State. I'm trying not to let geography have anything to do with this, because it doesn't anymore, does it, Travis? But that's a suggestion too.
Yep. Let's talk about the LSU Tigers and some scenarios for Brian Kelly's football team, at least for the foreseeable future, anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much on record. I want Florida to be a continuation, but I ain't Ole Miss going back to Billy Cannon on Halloween night back in the '50s. That would seem to be a likely hold on of those type of games. Alabama to me, I think I wonder too how much TV checks in.
Because
I got to think ESPN doesn't want LSU Alabama going anywhere.
No.
And then, you know, you've had the, was it the boot game with Arkansas, I guess. Mm-hmm. That would seem to be the prime suspects for me where the LSU Tigers are concerned.
Yeah. I've seen Alabama, Ole Miss, and A&M. I think O&M may be a little bit more of a late season rivalry than that one. But certainly Alabama and Ole Miss would be appropriate. And as we've talked a few, over the last few minutes, Florida also would be appropriate, because even, you know, those teams, they're not in separate divisions anymore. But they've been some great games along that line. So, but yes, Alabama, Ole Miss would certainly fit.
Yeah, I think so. When you talk about LSU, and then you get into Ole Miss and, you know, the potential there for the Rebels with LSU, beyond that Mississippi State. I mean, you're going to play the Egg Bowl. You got to think so. Those would seem to be two pretty well slammed dunks for the Ole Miss Rebels. But another team, when you start thinking about that third option, I guess Arkansas could be in that mix.
Right.
That's what I'm kind of looking at, I think, for Ole Miss is that third opponent, maybe Oklahoma.
Well, and up for Ole Miss, I've seen Arkansas, LSU, Mississippi State, obviously, as you mentioned, but that, you know, Ole Miss has got a little bit of wiggle room there, frankly.
Yeah, they do. Mississippi State. We just talked about Ole Miss. So you got to think that's one. I could see Mississippi State and A&M.
Yes.
The agricultural angle, you know, where you could still have that kind of game with Mississippi State and Texas A&M, and then the Egg Bowl. Those two, another situation where when it comes to the third, that's where it'll get interesting with Mississippi State. Could it be Tennessee? Mm-hmm. Could it be Arkansas, perhaps? It's kind of up in the air when I think about Mississippi State and that third opponent.
Yeah, agree. Now, the list I'm looking at is Kentucky, Ole Miss, and A&M.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of logical, too. But
like I said, when we were talking about Kentucky, they didn't play last year. They're not playing this year, but it seemed like before that they had played a pretty good bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think Kentucky had been a real problem maybe for Mississippi State in the past. So let's get into some other schools as we work down this list with the 9-game conference schedule going into play. We're getting some alignment here, maybe. Intentional, we'll find out probably soon enough. Brent, as it relates to a college football playoff, we've heard in the last week or so the Big Ten floating a 28. So who knows, maybe at this point, but I guess we'll talk about the Missouri Tigers too. When you think about the rivalry type situations for them, and I think for Missouri, you know, when you consider, it seems like Arkansas is going to be one of those that they've kind of, again, that's one that they've tried to, they've almost tried to force feed Missouri, Arkansas to us, right? You know, that last weekend of the regular season, you're going to get Missouri and Arkansas. It might be that Friday afternoon game a lot of years. And then you get beyond that, though. That's, again, even the second game. I guess you would go Oklahoma with Missouri, too, because you can take that. You can take that back a couple of conferences ago, Brent, if you want to.
You could. Absolutely. I've seen, to your point, I'm seeing Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Vanderbilt.
Okay.
You know, something like that, which is interesting to think about, too.
Yep. It is. It absolutely is. And so we continue to move through this list here and look at these teams. I want to talk about South Carolina in relation to, you know, those three annual opponents. And so for the Gamecocks, it's been a little bit weird all these years. I Georgia is what you think about because of the bordering states, but I don't know if you're gonna have room to go with South Carolina where Georgia's concerned. I could see Kentucky being in that mix. I think you got to keep that Mayor's Cup alive, don't you? The Columbia's. Yes. You're going to have South Carolina, Missouri is one of those.
Sure.
But if you go Kentucky and Missouri for South Carolina, you better come with a big, big dog for that third one because for the sake of competitive integrity, Missouri and Kentucky ain't going to cut it for a lot of folks. And look, Missouri's been good the last few years, but is that going to be the case on an annual basis?
I would agree with that. Trav, I've seen Florida, Kentucky, and Tennessee is a possibility there. So, I would not want to be the schedule maker. I guess that's why they use computers for these things. But this is a legitimate question. Because you, Trav, if you come up with a list that we're looking at here, how many years do you go with this? I know they say, well, you know, this is your permanent opponent, and I get some of that, but does permanent really need be permanent, or should there be a 5 to 7 year maybe limit to some of these games?
You know, we've run down a lot of these already, and I think if you were able to maintain two permanent.
Yeah, absolutely.
For most situations, you would be okay.
Yes.
You know, right? I mean, if you're Tennessee and you get Kentucky and Alabama, well, you don't have Florida in that scenario. But Kentucky and Tennessee are the chief rivals. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, if you're Georgia, if you maintain Florida and Auburn, right?
Yeah.
Now I want to see Alabama LSU every year. I want to see Florida LSU every year.
Absolutely.
But if you could sustain two of those, even if you go away from three eventually and have more of a mix, I think a lot of folks would probably be okay with that. Where are we at here now?
Texas.
Yeah, let's talk about the Longhorns. I mean, obviously, as we talked about with OU, that's going to be a game that continues on for the foreseeable future in Dallas, you would think the Longhorns and the Sooners. And then for Texas, I think Arkansas makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
Kind of like Oklahoma makes a lot of sense for Missouri. And you're going to play A&M.
Yeah, absolutely.
So those three, those are pretty easy to slot, kind of like Alabama with the three we talked about with the Crimson.
Yeah, agree. But for Texas, there is absolutely no question that those would be their three. So that would be that's almost a perfect fit for them in some ways.
It is, and it's with Arkansas in there to go along with A&M and Oklahoma. I think that's balanced enough too in terms of competitiveness and you know what you would think you could expect almost on a year in and year out basis. So where are we at here? We
A&M.
A&M, Texas A&M. We need to talk about the Aggies again. Texas A&M, Texas. Feel pretty comfortable and thinking that's going to be an annual situation. A&M, LSU sounds like it would make a lot of sense. But, I mean, we got LSU playing about five teams now on a permanent basis.
Yeah, we do.
Arkansas A&M, maybe. A&M, Auburn. I'm going with a lot of the ag stuff. You know, yeah. I try to get Auburn and A&M playing and Auburn and Mississippi State and Texas A&M and Mississippi State. I'm trying to keep that round robin ag cup going with those three schools, you know.
And I think that's better than what I'm looking at, which is LSU, Mississippi State, and Texas. Now, Texas is obviously a given, but with Mississippi State and LSU, I mean, there have been some pretty good rivalries there with LSU. So, no, you're right. That's an interesting situation there.
We getting into Vandy neighborhood?
Is that we got Tennessee and Vandy left. That's right.
Yeah, let's check in on what we'll do here is we will go – I got to back up a little bit to find Tennessee and Vandy here. Let's see here. Do I have Tennessee here? Yes, I do. There's the Vols. Vols recently named that starting quarterback.
Yes, they did.
Joey Aguilar.
Yes. Who's got 6,000 yards already, by the way, Terrell?
Well, you know, we talk so much about that quarterback situation, and it's important, and I think it's good to have a veteran guy like that. Yeah. And I'm pulling for Joey Aguilar.
Oh, yeah,
this is a guy went the JUCO route, went to a non-power four, got his D1 start there at Appalachian State. Mm-hmm. And it looked like he was headed to UCLA, and now he's been involved in this sort of bizarre swap with Nico. And I like the folks that take the road less traveled, and that's been Joey Aguilar.
Yes.
I think he'll be comfortable in that system. I think he'll be able to operate in a way that Josh Heupel needs him to. End of the day for that team, not just that offense, in my opinion, to have a chance to really compete for a second straight spot in the college football playoff.
Yes.
They're still going to have to be able to run the heck out of the football.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what they've been. I mean, you know, you can talk about last year with Dylan Sampson and, you know, going back to Jalen Wright, Jabari Small.
Yes.
And then now, to me, more so than even Joey Aguilar, it's going to be up to that offensive line and Deshaun Bishop and Peyton Lewis and those backs to not just get it done for the sake of that offense's production, but to help that entire football team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, Chris Brazel just got out of any legal situation, shall we say. So he's going to be okay. And Mike Matthews is good. And, but no, I'm with you. I'm still not sure, that they're where they want to be, but I'm with you. I do like Aguilar and what he brings to them. And look, I mean, if you got 6,000 yards already, I don't care if that's against air. That's not bad, frankly.
No, it's not. But you think about Tennessee in relation to future schedules now in a 9-game league schedule. I mean, Kentucky, Alabama, those are two right there.
Yep.
But if you have Kentucky on there for Tennessee every year, can you have Vandy too?
No.
That's where the trouble comes in, I agree. Tennessee. I mean, those are unquestionably Tennessee's three prominent rivals.
Yeah.
But for the sake of competitive balance, unless you're able to do some things with your rotational opponents that make up for it, it's hard. I think you got to have another big dog to go with Alabama. If you're going to give Tennessee, Kentucky, or Vanderbilt, one or the other, you can make the case that Vanderbilt needs to be that permanent opponent more than even Kentucky, I guess.
Yeah, the list I'm looking at is Alabama, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt. That South Carolina thing may have been more out of geography. than it was anything else, but that's kind of intriguing.
If you're Tennessee, you'll sign up for that.
Well, yeah, sure you would. Absolutely.
You'll sign up for that. You'll take that. So let's talk about Vanderbilt. Tennessee would be one of those teams that we would anticipate. And then you think about, I guess, other options for Vanderbilt, Kentucky, maybe in that mix. But then again, this is another situation where that third, maybe even the second one for Vanderbilt, once you get past Tennessee, could be really a surprise of sorts.
Yeah. And the list I've got for Vandy is Auburn, Missouri, in Tennessee. But you're right about that. I mean, that's a tough pick there. Although, I give these Vanderbilt coaches a lot of credit. Whether they can beat all these teams, they're at least changing that mindset a little bit where they can be a lot more competitive.
Yeah. And you know, the point you made a little bit earlier about revisiting these three common opponents, you know, these three annual opponents, is something that you might see, because, you know, teams don't stay down forever. I know you can say what you want about Vandy and Kentucky and maybe some of those teams, but, you know, like Auburn right now isn't viewed in this nearly the same light as it was even 5 years ago, you know? So, it's all cyclical, and that goes for the top of the league too. I mean, we've seen Alabama down. We've seen Texas down. We've seen Georgia down. So they're not immune from it either for even elongated stretches when you consider the teams that are right now at the top of the league. So, Brent, any other news and notes from around the league maybe in the last week? We always, this time of year, talk about injuries. Alabama had a pretty significant one at running back with Jam Miller. Mm-hmm. Seems like this is that time of year where with running backs especially, you're holding your breath for whatever reason, because last year we saw it with C.J. Baxter at Texas. We saw it with Reuben Owens at Texas A&M a year ago, lost those guys in the preseason. Wanted to get your thoughts on the Jam Miller injury, maybe your first thoughts when you got that news.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a blow for Miller. Fortunately, it's not a season-ending thing.
Right.
Dislocated collarbone. Now, they did not do any surgery on the injury. When you're that young, you recover a little quicker than we do, I guess. Don't you try out? But that the doctors have said the recovery time is going to be fast. He says he's going to be back soon. You know, my thing with this is, what it might do with the guys behind him in Richard Young, Daniel Hill at 6'1", 244, Dre Washington, Kevin Riley, and A.K. Deer. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying necessarily, I'm sure he would have gotten the most carries, but with Jam out, you know, this, and as long as season is going to be now, Trav, this may really help teams like Alabama. It doesn't seem like it when you've got an injury. I mean, they've got a schedule up into Georgia that they can manage, even with Wisconsin in here. I'm not sure this won't be valuable, some of these backs.
Oh, it's the silver lining, or one of them, for sure, is that you're going to expedite some things probably for a Rich Young and or a Daniel Hill. Dre Washington's a vet. I mean, he came in from the transfer portal from Louisiana. So experience at this level, maybe not quite to this level of the SEC, is something as much on his resume. But he's played a good bit of football the last 3 or 4 years. So more so in terms of experience, it's for Rich Young. It's for Daniel Hill. And, yeah, if you get those guys that type of exposure and that type of experience – because it isn't season ending for Jam Miller. Mm-hmm. When he comes back, your situation could be even better than it was. I mean, Trey, look at Texas now because of what Trey Wisner got last year.
Yes.
And now Baxter comes back, and that's pretty daunting to think about, you know, in terms of 1-2 punches. So, yeah, that was that's a shame for Jam Miller, a veteran back, kind of split some things in previous years. I still think it was going to be a mix of backs for Alabama, but I didn't have any doubt that Jam Miller was going to be the first back out there against Florida State. And that's where you have a little bit of trepidation going into that game, is that, another silver lining for Alabama is that it didn't happen like game week. It happened last Saturday. So Alabama's got this week and next week and getting ready to rep up guys, ramp guys up. But you still won't know how those guys are going to handle that.
Even with
a little bit of time in their corner until you put them out there against the Seminoles.
Well, and the thing with Miller is, and what we've seen in covering this league for as long as we have, guys like Miller, who's a senior, well, not only does he know how to run, he knows how to block, and he knows how to catch, and he knows the little things that can very well protect his quarterback from getting hurt. So, Trav, that there are multiple reasons why you miss Miller, not just running the ball.
Is there another team in the league, Brent, maybe in the last week that you've caught a whiff of that has you a little bit concerned about that team going into the season? Sounds like Hugh's been getting after Jackson Arnold a little bit.
Yes.
You're going to take that show on the road to Baylor.
Yeah.
1 week from tomorrow night. That sounds good, doesn't it?
One week from tomorrow night.
We're going to have Auburn and Baylor from Waco. Of course, we're at week zero this weekend. The Ireland games just don't do it for me, though. I mean, I'll watch it because it's college football, but I'm more interested in even Stanford Hawaii Saturday. Because that'll feel more like college football, even though it's on Oahu. That'll feel more like college football to me than a game in Ireland, even though I will watch. But, maybe a team or two that either good or bad you've heard some things about or seen some things, read some things about in the last week that have you thinking they may be either a game or two or three better than we thought even a month ago, or maybe a game or two or three worse than we thought maybe.
Yeah, and also let me throw UNLV in here with Dan Mullen.
Yes.
And Idaho State, they'll win the game. I get all that. But the reality of that, that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Just kind of see where that's going to go. I'm greatly amused at this Arkansas field rush policy. After the game ends, there's a 3-minute that will be placed on the video boards. And when the time runs out, fans will be allowed to down on the field to celebrate. If they do it before then, it'll be a $500,000 fine from the SEC. Oh, Lord.
Wow.
Oh, my. And listen, what do you make of this Florida situation? Now, the good thing about the situation they've got, to me, that's the thing that kind of concerns you about them. Now, fortunately, they've got their first two opponents. They're not playing Miami the first two games, but Trav, does it concern you like it does me that Lagway is just not quite where he needs to be yet? And look, we're not saying that he's out for the season, anything like that at all. But there can't be that much consistency in that offense right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting, even with LIU, Long Island for the opener, and then South Florida in week two, to see exactly where he's at and how much they're willing to put on him. As we've talked about before, though, they have the benefit of a really good offensive line and a stable of backs, a 1-2 punch in the running back position, at least, that if they need to turn Lagway more into pocket guy, they can do that. Now, instinctively, what is going to try to take over with him? Because he is a playmaker with his legs. So,
You know,
how much does that impact him in the way he plays,
right,
the way he likes to play? You know, I've compared him to Steve McNair is who I've compared him to.
Oh, yes.
Because he's a strong guy. He can be physical if he needs to be. He can avoid pass rush with his strength. You got to work to get this guy on the ground. And McNair could stand in there if he needed to and beat you from the pocket. Oh, yeah. So maybe Lagway can be that kind of guy. But there are. I agree. I think Florida, there's certainly questions about. Missouri's interesting because Eli's going to take that thing into the season opener. Now, the season opener is Central Arkansas, but Bo Pribula coming in from Penn State. And then Sam Horn, the baseball player, football player. Eli says he's going to take that thing into the opener against Central Arkansas. And look, looking at Missouri's schedule and this year and last year, he has the luxury of being able to do that. And Sam Horn's a guy that's been around. I mean, he's been in that system. I think Pribula is kind of the shiny new toy coming in from Penn State, thinking about the different things he can do as well.
Oh, yeah. I've got a couple I want to end with, Trav. One is Urban Meyer being honored during the Tennessee game. Now, look, you've heard this like I have. Hey, we appreciate those national championships, but Urban, we don't like you. Well, we'll see on November 22nd kind of where the love is there. And my question is, Trav, is the bad blood gone now? Will he be? Will there be a thunderous cheer, or will there be some fans sitting on their hands because they appreciate the national championship?
I won't really line up with.
Yeah, I think Urban is always going to be viewed as pretty much a mercenary. And for look, if you're a Florida fan, you're fine with it. The guy came in and won a couple of national championships. Is he going to be revered over the course of time like Spurrier or Tim Tebow? No. Mm-hmm. He was a mercenary. He came in and he did what he was hired to do. The mess behind was pretty extensive.
Yes.
But if you would have told most Florida fans we know, it's going to be pretty messy when he leaves, but you're going to have two national championships to show for it. Most folks we know would have taken it.
Oh yeah. And, yes.
And still would. Yeah. And you know what? We're going to get Pops's thoughts on the SEC.
I like that.
I recently visited with Pops. We got him pulled up here on the screen.
Yeah.
And I asked him for his SEC predictions, Brent. We'll take this in. We'll analyze Pops here a little bit before we get out of here. On second helping. Here's Pops from his front porch. How about that rug he's got there? That welcome mat. That's a very regal R.
It sure is, isn't it?
Wow. And a nice wreath on his door there. He's got the swing. Doesn't have any shoes on, which that's pretty standard, Pops. Let's see. I'm going to ask Pops about the SEC in 2025.
Pops, I was thinking about it, and you're kind of like Archie Manning. You've got three sons. Is that about the extent of the comparisons, though?
I don't. He wasn't going to compare me to one of the Manning and I look, he ain't Archie either. All right,
I don't really line up with Peyton, I guess.
Or Archie or Eli or even
Cuppa. Not even a Cuppa of the brunch. Hey, I wanted to ask you about your SEC predictions.
Yeah,
want to get you on record with that. Okay. You got a lot of your fan base that's anxious.
He laughs about it, but he has a fan base, man. I get people all the time. They want to know what Pops is up to. What's he think?
You see that shaking out with Arch Manning and those Texas Longhorns. A lot of people think it's going to be Texas, Pops.
And I think a lot of people are going to be wrong.
How about that? Right out the chute. Pops is not on that Bevo bandwagon.
He's not, is he?
At all.
Oh, wow. Lord.
Sarkisian doesn't do anything for me.
Wow. Sarkisian catches a shot.
Oh.
I mean, Sarkisian's in the 2.0 version of Sark's been pretty damn impressive, I think.
But I agree.
Pops, there's something about the Lane Sark thing that he's just not down with.
No, anyway, he's not, is he?
Here we go.
You don't have any. Sark doesn't do it.
No.
Doesn't move the needle.
No. Oh. But I mean, I all I've ever heard was Archie was the greatest quarterback around.
Uh-huh.
And all I've seen him do is ride the pine.
Oh no, there he is on Arch. Oh, no. He's not big on, you know what though? He is such a Spurrier fan, Spurrier Mark. Where else have we heard that, by the way? What Pops just said, Brent, where else have we heard that same comment basically? Mr. Coach, the head ball coach
absolutely
said it about a month ago. And Pops just parroting the head ball coach.
Well, he did sit behind Quinn Ewers.
But Ewers didn't do nothing.
Nothing.
To me, he didn't have that senior year.
Beat the blitz against Arizona State.
He sure did.
Yeah.
Thought he was going.
Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't dynamic.
No.
He wasn't dynamic. At all.
So you're not full in on Arch.
But I mean, I like.
Who's going to win SEC then? Can you utter the word Georgia as a Gator? Or is that just too hard?
I don't have a problem with
it. It really pains him. Don't listen to that.
Yeah, really.
I don't think their quarterback is going to be the boy.
What about Bama? What do you think of Ty Simpson?
I don't know nothing about Ty Simpson.
There's not a good team, apparently, and there's not a good quarterback in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. I'm going to find out in Tallahassee.
Yeah,
we will.
You've been there a few times.
Yes, we
have. You remember any of them?
I sure do.
Okay.
Years ago, Marino in Pittsburgh.
You saw Pitt with Dan Marino at quarterback. Marino,
he really
in
did.
Tally.
And the linebacker was all
Hugh Green.
Hugh Green.
That was a dynamic duo. Now, was after Majors. Was that Jackie? I want to say that must have been Jackie Sherrill was in there, right?
Yeah.
And Florida State had a punter.
Ron Stark.
Ron Stark that could kick it out of the stadium.
Left footer.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. But so you're kind of still up in the air about the SEC champ. What about your Gators?
Well,
what about your fighting Gators?
I love their running backs.
Yeah, Jaden Ball and that crew.
And if Blagway could stay on the field.
There it is. There it is, Brent.
I'd probably love him too.
Yeah.
But I have more doubt that he won't stay.
There it is.
The got Anthony Richardson vibes a little bit.
Yeah, I mean.
With the health.
We don't want to talk about Anthony.
Better quarterback, I'd say. Anthony Richardson, top 10 pick.
Anthony Richardson.
All right. Well, we won't talk about Anthony Richardson, but if Blagway stays healthy, you could be a believer this year.
Well, I could. I'm not a huge Napier fan.
Okay.
Oof.
But they picked up some really good athletes.
Yeah, they got some receivers. Yeah. Got to stay healthy.
You got to stay healthy.
All right, Pops. You excited about the season?
Yeah, I am. But not just the Gators. I mean, there's so many teams that are going to be interesting to keep up with.
Yeah.
I mean, Shedeur Sanders went up there to Cleveland.
Yeah, he looked good, didn't he?
I mean, good Lord have mercy.
Yeah, now he's hurt.
Yeah.
Browns can't keep a quarterback healthy.
No.
All right, Pops. Well, we'll keep track of you throughout the season.
Yeah.
And we'll revisit some of these comments. You know,
I think it's going to be a very entertaining and interesting
2025.
Yeah, I'm probably looking.
But you're not buying the Texas hype.
No, and I'm sure they got all the 4- and 5-star players.
Uh-huh.
Sarkisian this and Sarkisian that.
Yeah.
But he didn't hit a lick with a stick.
He didn't hit a lick with a stick. Pop said. So there you go.
Yeah.
We get asked about Pops, so there's some
good.
There's some Pops analysis as we get out of here.
That was good stuff there. Yeah. Yes.
The one, the only.
Yeah.
And so apparently there's no good team. There's not. It's just going to be a vacated SEC this year. Nobody's going to win it.
Yeah. So
the quarterbacks aren't very good. And DJ Lagway can't stay healthy. So there it is.
So because of all that, we didn't get a winner for the league yet.
Right? No. You know what he'll do? He'll wait till like mid-November and say, you know, I really like, you know. That's what he'll do. That's what he'll do.
Yeah.
Hey, Brent, it's a lot of fun, my man.
Me too, brother. I tell you what, it's hard to believe, but we're a week away, right?
We are a week away from week one, and we'll get some in this weekend.
We will.
So we'll look forward to that. And then next week, it'll be a lot of game previews right here on Second Helping on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Brent, look forward to doing it.
Me too, brother. Take care.
For Brent Beard, I'm Travis Ryer, reminding you, if you haven't already, subscribe to the Ryer on YouTube channel. If you haven't already, please also hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted all of our content as it drops here on the channel. And a thumbs up, a like helps us too. For Brent, Travis, until next time, so long, everybody.